You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The MSCI World Index rose for a fourth day today. We saw all major Asian, European and now US indices in the green. Copper at six-month highs. Investors cheering upbeat US employment data. The Rand breaking through 17 to the dollar, now at 16.97 to the greenback. And we gained around 2% on the all share. Welcome to the Twilight Zone. Anthea Gardner of Cartesian Capital. Anthea, does it make sense, all of this? I mean, nothing seems real anymore. Not the economy, not the markets, not the politics. Hey, there's a global pandemic. We can just print our way out of a crisis, it seems.
Good evening, Michael. You've touched on so many things there. And so firstly, I think South Africa's just trading in line with risk sentiment. You know, we saw these numbers, these jobless numbers come out of, or payroll numbers come out of the US. But you and I think, have spoken a lot about the disconnect between Wall Street and the High Street. But what we haven't spoken about is this disconnect between the rest of the world and South Africa. And yes. I think, unfortunately, you know, we went into this crisis with a weakened economy, and I'm not sure that we have the spending power to reignite the economy or even enough money in the government kitty for stimulus packages, which is very different from the US Fed. They put out their notes yesterday, and we can talk a bit about that, but they just say it looks like the economy is not going to recover fully, and every investor sees stimulus package coming, stimulus package coming. I think it really is Twilight Zone, as you say.
Well, it's the Fed coming out with the big bazookas, and we've still got the pop gun. And I was watching CNBC this morning. Larry Lindsay, the former director of the National Economic Council under President Bush, came out saying that the S&P 500 will probably be at 4,000 based solely on the expansion of the money supply by the Fed. And the great Kelly Evans jumped in and she pushed him for a date. And the target's year-end 2021. I mean, that's the forecast of the creation of more than $7 trillion worth of wealth over the next 18 months, not based on anything like productivity gains or innovation or economic growth, but just by keeping the digital printing press running.
I know, it's quite incredible. And the other thing, Michael, that the Fed, in the Fed minutes we saw yesterday, was they suddenly introduced this target of bond yield. So any minute soon, you know, in the next couple of days, on every investor's lips, you'll hear about yield curve control and how they'll keep a lid on the cost of borrowing, but yet still pump money into the economy. There's not a lot of logic. It really does remind me of two things. One, 2000, you know, when we were all buying IT shares with loss-making earnings, or that were loss-making, I should say, and then the global financial crisis. Like, the credit rating agencies were so late to the party, kind of almost like none of it really made sense. And so I guess there's one thing having knowledge and another thing knowing what to do with it. You know, and even the VIX index I looked at today, it's back down to 27, this after reaching 83 in March, mid-March sometime. And if it's all okay, the world is just fine again. Let's ignore this resurgence of the coronavirus in states like California. It is bizarre.
It is bizarre. And watching Bloomberg today, Jonathan Farrow, I think, made a fantastic point about the fact that regardless of what governors in various states try to do about easing restrictions or even going back into some form of lockdown, companies and consumers will self-regulate here. And what we have seen is companies from Walt Disney to Microsoft to several others regulating themselves, closing stores. And we've also seen consumers not willing to re-enter with the same vigor and confidence that they had prior to the coronavirus. And I just don't see it returning to any semblance of normality until we've got a vaccine. And I know the market's got very excited about Pfizer and what's the other company's name? Biogen or BioNext. And their potential vaccine. But that is still months and months away. It just seems to be out of all, sense of pragmatism here. This doesn't seem to be a surge or a rally that's based on anything other than the expectation, as you said earlier, of more free money, of more printing press money. And surely that cannot continue forever.
Exactly. So the Fed kind of says they're not expecting a full, recovery is unlikely, but they're going to be highly accommodative until the economy gets back to normal. And that alone is a contradiction in terms. I think what you're seeing in the market is things like the U.S. payroll numbers come out today, and every investor pinning their hopes on that. And so payrolls rose by 4.8% in June. We were expecting 3.2%. Oh, sorry, 3.2 million. I'm not sure, 5%. and then you kind of saw the unemployment rate fall to 11.1%, and the stocks that are sensitive to the economy closing or opening just went through the roof. I mean, I think that kind of pinning your hope on that is bizarre. So one I wanted to say is that actually what it shows is that American companies hire and fire so quickly, and maybe they will reopen, and maybe they will employ all those tens of millions of people that they retrenched or fired when the country went into lockdown. And then the other thing which is quite interesting to note, Michael, is that this U.S. payroll numbers increase of 4.8 million is so nice because, well, timing really for the banks, because banks start reporting next week, and actually they base their what we call current expected credit losses, so for subsequent provisions, basically. They base that on the unemployment rate. And if the unemployment rate has fallen, suddenly it looks good for them. You know, they can suddenly make less provision. But the reality of the situation, and I think that's just massaging the numbers, probably, because the reality of the situation, I'm not sure, as you and I are saying, is particularly good.
Not at all. And just to juxtapose that, as you mentioned earlier, with South Africa and the fiscal firepower that we have, or lack thereof, the Reserve Bank sees GDP shrinking 32.6% in the second quarter. And that's obviously quarter on quarter and seasonally adjusted. And then we've got this report that Health Minister William Kesey is threatening a full lockdown again in parts of South Africa, because we've seen the surge in coronavirus cases, particularly in the Eastern Cape. The only thing is, we've got the numbers now. We've tried the hard lockdown. We just don't have the fiscal tools to support businesses that are put into deep freeze. And the damage is there for all to see. We don't have the flexibility of the U.S. labor market. Those jobs that are going to be lost are going to be sticky on the loss side of the ledger. It's going to be very difficult to get those people back into employment. Certainly not the same way that the U.S. has a very flexible labor market that can just hire and fire at will. So the mind boggles that that could even be on the government's radar.
Indeed. And Michael, you know, the government isn't talking about stimulus packages. They're talking about still relief packages. Mm-hmm. And this is relief for people who are suffering, who have lost their jobs, who are starving. And so, as you say, like, where does it fall out? And I honestly think we've seen quite a few companies go into business rescue, kind of every day brings a new business rescue since, what, kind of mid-April, May, started in May. I think you've seen a lot of people, a lot of companies actually keep people employed until now. But now it's just too long. And if we can't come out of lockdown, and if companies can't operate, and if there isn't as much pent-up demand as we would like, and people are all going to go out to sit in restaurants and shop and, you know, pay their way or consume their way out of a recession, then you're going to see more of this companies going into business rescue and the unemployment rate climbing. And as we said, government just does not have a kitty for stimulus.
The problem is, we've tried a debt-based scheme, the 200 billion rand loan guarantee scheme, hasn't been a success by any measure so far. because companies want to avoid debt. You can't take on debt through a crisis where the future remains so uncertain. We need to stimulate equity lending. We haven't even approached that. There are schemes, there are mechanisms. I'll be chatting to Brian Canto a little later about that. Looking at the big moves on the JSE today, interestingly, Telkom and MTN lead the big gainers on the day. Telkom up 9%, MTN up 8.1%. On no new news other than potentially investors seeing some value there, what do you make of that?
This is very interesting because I think what investors have done of late is, I want to say, become more risk-taking. So, you know, they're prepared to go into the MTNs and the Sasols where the volatility is through the roof because they think there is a chance the share could increase by 50% or double or whatever the case may be. In the case of the, I would say that's very much the case for MTN. For the other telcos, Telkom doesn't excite me very much. Vodacom never has excited me for the last, I would say, 5 years. It's just gone absolutely nowhere. But it does suddenly seem to be a safe harbor to go to if you need to deploy cash and put your money, invest your money somewhere. So I think you're seeing that happening in the stock market at the moment with shares. You know, people say, which companies I'm not going to survive, I'm not going to touch those. And the ones I think will survive, I'll buy those. But the price they're prepared to pay for them is probably not in line with what it should be or what the recovery would look like. There's a real kind of speculative feel to the stock market at the moment.
And if you look at Telkom in particular, it was last week they reported a massive decline in HEPS. It's selling its towers business. But I'd understand an investor looking at the telcos saying, well, what is a business that is going to ride the wave of COVID fairly well? And that's a business that benefits from people staying at home a lot more, needing the pipes that these telcos provide to connect you to this new digital economy. And I suppose a lot of investors feeling that at just over 30 Rand, there was some value to be had, on Telkom and MTN as well, which also trades in some very risky markets. But I think only time will tell, Anthea, whether or not those are the kinds of bets that might pay off. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, with your view from the market.